Get ready for a week-long celebration of music, community, and fabulous fun with Joy Radiothon 2024. Joy has the largest collection of rainbow podcast content in the world, and you can help keep us out loud and proud by donating during Joy Radiothon 2024. Just go to joy.org.au/radiothon. Mark it in your calendars because Joy Radiothon returns June 1st to 7th. And remember, we all flourish with joy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Listening to Chatterbox with Brett and Alan on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Australia. And I would like to introduce a very special co-host this evening, Alan Wattrop. Come on down.
Hello.
It's like you're the Joan Rivers to my Johnny Carson.
I know. And all I can say is if my career ends up with me being able to be as scathing, as foul-mouthed as her to just about anyone I want to, then that's a career path I want to follow. So thank you very much.
Now, obviously, there's a reason why you're being my beautiful co-host tonight, isn't there, my love?
Apparently so, yeah. It's just a good job there was nothing on the telly tonight because you would have been... But hey,
I would have been fighting between you and X Factor or something like that, yeah?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Because my beautiful partner tonight, this is a very special Chatterbox, because my beautiful partner is actually going to come in later on in the show, and he's actually our guest. So we're going to probe him deeply and ask all the questions that we're just bursting out, aren't we, my love?
Well, let's get away with it then and just get the party started.
Absolutely. Now, obviously, Chatterbox, every week we get a special guest in who chooses the music. Now, normally the first song is chosen by ourselves, generally my partner. So we're actually going to go straight into it. It's a dance floor classic. Or should I actually say, Alan, it's one of his... How many times have you heard Dance Yourself Dizzy?
I wouldn't say it was a dance floor classic. I would say it was more of a ground floor Meyer... Clarence Counter Classic, because I have actually, when I used to work in the city, did the little scoot between Bourke Street and Lonsdale Street through the Clarence Counter, and I heard it a couple of times.
Do you think my boyfriend might have had something to do with my management that time to pop it on?
Absolutely, I think so.
And here it is. It is a classic Liquid Gold song. Dance Yourself Dizzy. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Albie on Joy 94.9. Joy 94.9. It's the Chatterbox crew of Brett and my very special co-host, Albie, tonight on Joy 94.9. Alan, how did you enjoy the first track?
I'm quite dizzy.
And whilst we were playing, we already had a message sent out to you, didn't we, my love?
Yes, we did.
Yes? And who was it from?
Well, it's from one of my favourite Scottish ladies and certainly one of your favourite people too.
Absolutely.
I believe she's in the Philippines at the moment, wowing the expat community over there.
Oh.
Kirsty Norton. I'm online. So great to hear your voices.
Oh, my God. The Thriller from Manila. You're a natural at this, my love. Do you know that? This is like a telethon. I'm loving it already.
I probably would not have agreed to come on if I hadn't actually listened to my voice on the podcast.
Yes.
I was expecting to sound like a cross between Susan Boyle and a gas leak. But, you know, it actually sounded okay. So here I am.
Now, obviously, you're co-hosting because who is our very special guest this week, Albie?
Well, all the comparisons to celebrities aside, this is probably the David Frost moment of my life, the interview that will make or break my career. Frost versus Nixon. Cynthia Nixon, that is. My good pal, Andrew Pepperell. Thanks for joining us, Andrew.
Yay! Welcome to Chatterbox, my love.
Oh, thank you, Brett. Thank you, Alan.
Now, how does it feel like being in our guest seat?
Can I say, every control freak, and we know there's a lot of control freak fibres of my body,
yes,
are literally vibrating at the moment. This is what Streisand must have felt like when she did the Guilty album, and she just said to Barry Gibb, you do it, you do it. I'm like, I'm going to die.
Is the seat still wet from me last week?
Yes.
We've had a whole week to dry it out, though, Al. It's all
Community
right.
Radio, Alan. No room for heaters here.
Oh, my goodness. Now, we've already had another message come through, and it's from your darling old friend, Karen Wilson. Excited to hear your special guest tonight. Great song to start. Even Tony, that's her husband, was tapping his toe bar.
Oh, that's really sweet. Sweet. Thank you, Karen. And thank you, Tony. A little bit gay, but thank you, Tony.
Now, can I say, when did you fall in love with Liquid Gold, my love?
It wasn't Liquid Gold. It was just... That has got to be the happiest song ever in the whole history of the world. And can I be perfectly honest? I loved that song, but I went to a roller disco when I was about 11, and she came out on the stage in a pair of thigh-high gold boots and a gold mini dress, and she was the same shape as a sack of potatoes. So it wasn't a particularly gorgeous sight, but I just thought it was the most glamorous thing I'd ever seen in my life.
Was this at... Where was the roller disco?
It was at the Top Rank in Cardiff, which then became the Ritzy.
And that was obviously a nightclub.
Natural progression?
Yes, yes, yeah. Absolutely. I used to skate many years ago at the Balcatta Roller Dome.
Yes, but it's Marshall tonight, Brett.
Yes, I'm just... Is it too early to cut the mic already, Alan?
Well, I'm just a bit confused. I thought Liquid Gold was a brand of one of those room deodorizers. Wrong time slot, perhaps.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. So, my love, are you ready? Are you prepared for Alan and I to probe you mercilessly?
Look, I think so. I think I am. And look, it's you and I have been meaning to do a show, whether it's be you or whether it be me, for a long time.
Absolutely.
So, probe away.
Oh, God. Shall we start with Cardiff?
Well...
No.
Yes, no, of course we can start with Cardiff. I mean, obviously I've got a very international accent, as does Alan.
Yes.
I wasn't born in this strange brown country of ours. I was born in the UK in a place called Cardiff, which... Yes. For those of you that don't know, is a car park next to England. we're going to get letters about that.
Oh, I know. And that'll be from Karen and Tony.
Yeah, it really will. But Cardiff is the capital of Wales. I was born there. I grew up there. I left there when I was 18. Look, I had a great childhood there. It was wonderful. We lived a little bit away from everybody.
Yeah.
It doesn't seem like it's a long way away now, but it was probably about 15, 20 minutes walk away from our closest friends.
Yeah.
It's not far, really, in the big term scheme of things, but it was when you're sort of 6 or 7, because you can't walk around to your friend's house.
Absolutely.
To play. So I used to spend an awful lot of time in my bedroom listening to music.
Yeah.
Making bridesmaids' dresses out of tissues for my action man.
Did you do that, Alan?
It wasn't a British thing. It's not like everyone in Britain had to make bridesmaids' dresses out of them.
I had a knitting Nancy.
You had a knitting Nancy?
Yeah, you know the French knitting with the wooden...
Can I say, was that just... And it just became like a knitting tube...
Yes.
Yes.
But
what were you supposed to do with it?
Well, you could make posters or placemats.
Placemats or try to get in the Guinness Book of Records like I did.
Oh, well, that's wonderful. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 in Melbourne. Joy.org.au for the world.
It's Chatterbox with Brett and Albie and our special guest, Andrew. We're turning the tables tonight, my love. Albie.
Now, Andrew.
Yes,
Prince
Alan.
Andrew.
Yes.
I would love you to go into a little bit of depth and explain your first song choice, well, your second song choice. Simple reason being is it's knocked me out of the ballpark. I just would never have picked that as a song for you.
It's not necessarily one of my favourite songs, but I think, as I said earlier, like I grew up and music was a huge part of my life. I spent an awful lot of time playing ABBA in my bedroom. This isn't ABBA, by the way, but music was a really big part of my life. And I chose this because it reminds me of my teenage years. It is Culture Club, Church of the Poison Mind. And the reason I've chosen this is because a friend of mine who just emailed us in earlier, Karen.
Yeah.
We've been friends since we were 13. And we used to spend a ridiculous amount of time in my bedroom singing horribly loudly to songs. It used to drive my mother insane. But we also used to do this weird thing called Artificial Christmas, where...
Hang on. What is Artificial Christmas?
Artificial Christmas.
You have a lot of real Christmas love already.
Absolutely. But it started way early on. But we used to do this thing called Artificial Christmas, which was in the middle of the year, maybe June. Well, actually, we didn't even care when it was, but we would drag all the Christmas decorations out of the spare room, put the Christmas tree up, put Christmas lights up. This is awful to say now because we would have been literally no older than 14 or 15. We used to drink my father's homemade wine, which he used to brew out of orange juice and sultanas and rice. We used to steal bottles of it and take it upstairs to the bed. It really was. It was moonshine.
You were drinking moonshine at the age of...
I swear to God. Oh, how we still got esophaguses left, I don't know. But we would take it up to the bedroom, drink it, smoke like lunatics, and dance around the lounge, dance around my bedroom to various songs. And there's a photo on Facebook of Karen and I dancing to Church of the Poison Mind. She's dressed up as Boy George. And I don't know if anybody remembers, but Boy George had a really big fat backup singer called Helen Terry.
Yes.
And she was in the Church of the Poison Mind video. And there's a photo of us on Facebook. Karen's got a bowler hat on. And I've got a doona wrapped around me and a big long knitted scarf tied around my head. We've both got more makeup on than Boy George ever could have dreamed of, and we're dancing around my bedroom, and I look back now and it's like, oh my God, we were 14. But do you know what, it's one of the happiest memories that I've got of growing up.
And
so
that explains why I've had dinner parties at your house that have ended much the same.
Absolutely. I just don't need the padding now, that's the difference. So my first song is Church of the Poison Mind by Culture Club.
You're on Joy 94.9. Listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and Andy and our special guest. No, it's Brett and Alan with our special guest Andy on Joy 94.9. That was the Church of the Poison Mind by the fabulous Culture Club. And in the meantime, we've had a few messages. Like Alan, who's our first message from?
Well, I know this is from one of Andrew's favourite people and vice versa. It's from Inbar. Yeah. Oh, that laugh. Loving hearing you, Andrew, in the interview chair. Zuzu B, not so much. He's trembling at the sound of your voice.
Oh,
just so you know, Zuzu B is
Inbar's
dog, and I went over to Inbar's house once and her dog went spastic and just wouldn't be in the same room as me and lost his mind. So
is this why our cat's a bit mental?
No. His cat's a bit mental because of you. That dog is a bit mental because it's homophobic.
We'll
frankly.
Get to your cat being mental. That's another show.
Yeah, that's another show. Thank you, Alan. Hey, and we've also had a message from a previous wonderful guest of Chatterbox, Maddie Cannon, her of the showbiz fame. Hello, fellow business of the show peeps. Can't wait for the hard-hitting questions. Andy with a Y, insert Lisa giggle. Why is he no longer putting makeup faces other than on his own? And who is the most fabulous person has he applied makeup to or possibly putty?
Oh, look, for those of you that don't know, I used to dabble around in the world of cosmetics. And I haven't done... Actually, no, that's a lie. I have done a couple of famous people, actually. I did Danny Minogue once.
Oh, yes, you did.
Yes, and I did... She's less famous, but it was... Remember Melissa DeCoutts?
Yes.
Sexy is the word. I did her, and she was about 19 at the time, and I'll just say she wasn't entirely present.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Right, she was distracted, wasn't she,
my love?
I won't
defame her, but I'll just say she wasn't entirely present. It was... Yeah.
Well, I hope she's not listening.
No.
Hope she is. Clean your act up, girl.
So, now, this is the part of the show when we normally ask our guest, one of our GLBTI guests, their coming out story.
Yes.
And, my love, would you like to share tonight?
Look, yeah, mine was... I'm not going to say it's unremarkable, because it wasn't one of those particularly traumatic coming out stories. I mean, I was... It might be hard to believe for those people that know me, or even for the listeners at home, because of my deep masculine voice, but... I was quite a sissy boy growing up.
Didn't you graduate the highest of honours in Swishy Pete's school for Camp Effeminate Men?
Let's just say I wasn't particularly tough in high school, but...
You did win the 100 metres mince.
I think the funny thing is... I think the funny thing
Frankie
is...
Frankie Howard's about to pop out of someone's back passage in a moment. Oh, never!
I think the thing is, in high school, though, like, I was always surrounded by girls. Like, I've always loved girls, and all my friends have always been girls.
Yep.
I always had girls around me. I always had a vicious mouth. So boys never picked on me, really, because it was one of those things that, I don't know, they just always gave me a bit of a wide berth. But I always knew I was a little bit different.
Can I say, and also, and I think this is... been said by many of your older friends, the friends you've known for a long time, as well as your family, you've also had a very quick wit about you. You've always been sharp as a tack, my love, in responses.
I could cut someone with words.
Absolutely.
And I could do that from the very, very young age. But look, I never had a particularly hard time in high school. In fact, high school was really, really enjoyable for me. I never got bullied. I never got picked on, even though I was a big fat sissy. But I think I got to an age where I was about 17, 18, where I started to twig that it was a little bit more than just being a sissy boy.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a particularly difficult transition for me. I mean, I literally remember going out and kissing a guy, and it was that simple for me. It was like, that's it. I know exactly what I am. Probably the harder part for me was I was comfortable with it, but how do I actually tell? It wasn't so much the people around me, because I think by that point I had quite a few gay friends, that were quite flamboyant gay friends, and I was so grateful they were flamboyant, because they...
Who your mother at times used to pop over and have a drink with them.
Oh, no, it wasn't mum. They used to pop over and have a drink
with
them. Oh, sorry. They were cheap gays. She had the booze.
So who was the first boy that you kissed?
Do you know, I can't even remember his name. That's awful. I'm sorry, Dad. I was a slutty teenager.
So it wasn't Nicky Onstein then?
No. Look, it wasn't a magical moment as far as it was a person. It was just a thing. Yeah. It was just like...
It was a thing.
This is it. The harder part for me was actually telling my family. It wasn't my friends. My friends were like, oh, thank Christ, you're wearing more makeup than Miss Piggy. It's...
And you had a mixed reaction from your family, didn't you?
No,
initially.
I sort of did. I mean, I had aunties that weren't overly comfortable with it, but I don't think that was more about them. That was not much about me. I think I was probably just being used a little bit as a pawn in something. But look, we were just about to emigrate to Australia, and Mum had so much on her plate at the time. I just thought the last thing she needs is for me to lump I'm gay on her plate.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually tell her, but my family knew.
Yeah.
And there was a little bit of sneaking around, and... that never sat comfortably with me.
Yeah.
But I remember going to a gay club, and I saw my auntie's hairdresser, and he looked me straight in the eye, and he knew who I was, and I knew who he was, and I panicked, and I rang him 2 days later and said, you can't tell my auntie, because I knew if she knew, she would tell my mother.
Absolutely.
And it was just one of those things. It was like, I knew Mum would take it okay when she found out, but I wanted her to find out on my terms, and just before we left for Australia wasn't the right time or place.
Yeah.
When we got to Australia and I told her, she was completely accepting of it. She was probably a little bit bumpy for a couple of days, dad, I can honestly say, was the most supportive I could ever wish a father to be. Dad was probably more comfortable with it than mum was.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to remember as well, it was the late 80s, so that was probably one of the hardest times you could possibly come out, because there wasn't a lot of good news going around in the late 80s.
And as we all know, like, especially after watching The Normal Heart, where gay lib had come such strides, and literally, and I remember someone, and I do apologise that I'm ad-libbing with who I'm misquoting tonight, said this is going to set back the gay liberation cause by 10 or 20 years. And they're absolutely right, because how the AIDS crisis came out in the media and worldwide, people just panicked. And when panic, sense and reason and rationale are just thrown out of the window, and everyone just gets caught up with this wave of emotion. But it was very hard for most gays in the 80s. I mean, it was hard enough in the 70s, but with that stigma.
Oh, look,
still
absolutely.
So alive in,
I mean,
the 80s.
It's quite bizarre, because, I mean, I think back now to this friend of mine that knew me before I came out, technically, and I didn't... This didn't upset me at the time. It was only when I look back in hindsight that I thought, my God, this is a really strange thing. But it's, I suppose it sums up the time that it was. It was this friend of mine that I was really close to that had a child that occasionally I would babysit for. And when I actually came out to her, she said, look, I'm really glad that you're in that place, but I prefer you didn't babysit for me anymore, because I'm scared my child's going to catch AIDS.
Oh, God.
And do you know, at the time, I didn't pay too much thought to it, but it was only like a couple of years later where I thought, you hideous witch.
Yeah.
But I remember the hysteria, because I was still in the UK.
Yeah.
And, you know, the front pages of the tabloids when Liberace died, obviously Rock Hudson, first of all. And I remember reading in The Sun about how Tom Jones was banning women throwing knickers on stage in case he got it that way.
But remember when Rock Hudson appeared as a guest star in Dynasty,
yeah,
and he was very gaunt at the time. He'd lost a lot of weight,
yeah,
and he had a kissing scene with Linda Evans, and they kissed, and she ran off crying because there was so much hysteria, and it's just so terrible. And I can't help but draw parallels to what's happening now in Africa with Ebola, that there is so much hysteria. I think it's not as bad, but when...
I think the difference is Ebola is not being focused on one particular
part of
the community, whereas AIDS was.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think particularly back to Britain and America at the time, where they were both, you had the Reagan administration, you had the Thatcher government.
I was just about to mention,
and
our mate,
let's face it, they weren't particularly gay friendly.
No.
But you know what? Despite all of that, I didn't give a shit. It was a particularly happy time in my life.
Yeah.
I didn't really go through a huge amount of upheaval.
Yeah.
There was a little bit of sneaking around, but that was more to do with timing rather than me being uncomfortable with myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It wasn't that difficult for
me. Like I mentioned last week, self-acceptance is one thing. The disclosure is another issue.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
And I think, look, if you're comfortable to do it, you will come to your own conclusion as to how you actually execute that yourself, and you will figure out your own way, time, place to tell people.
Absolutely. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight on Joy 94.9.
Have your say. SMS 0427 JOY 949.
You're listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett and my special guest host Albie. As our special guest tonight on Chatterbox is the one and only Andrew. We've had a few messages coming through, Albie.
We have. It's running hot.
Yes.
First up is from Amity.
Yes.
Love that vicious mouth, Pepper. Was that Auntie Vi's hairdresser?
No, it was Auntie Bubs's hairdresser. His name was Alan.
I love it.
He looked like a professional ice skater, even without ice skates on. He just had this big coiffed hair and oddly cut jeans. But
oh, bless. Yeah.
Quite fabulous.
Now, we've got one from the fabulous Aaron of East St Kilda. Hello, Chatterbox boys. Loving the Andy Probing and new celebrity host, Chad Dallings. And speaking of which, Aaron's actually coming on to our show next week as a guest.
Oh, splendid.
Yes, and we might be able to unravel that story that is...
The Belle of Bali.
The Belle of Bali and the... and the Chow Darling story, because that's a story we're going to have. Now, one final person sent out a message as well, Albie.
Yes, I do.
Yes.
Here we go. It's from Miss Moira.
Yes.
A Welsh coming out story and no Dame Shirley Bassey mention. I feel cheated and so political tonight, ladies. Get to some disco and let's dance. Love your work, Andy.
Which is, I would like to say thank you, Miss Moira, because that's a wonderful segue to Andrew's next song. Now, my love, why did you choose this?
I don't know if it's certainly not disco, but it's, we were talking about before we went to the break about coming out, and this reminds me of walking into a gay pub in Cardiff called the King's Cross, which is still there.
King's Cross.
Yeah, and this came on, and it was literally like that bit in The Wizard of Oz when she comes out of the house and everything's in colour, and I walked into this gay bar, which was filthy, and it stunk of beer, and it was full of gay men in high-waisted jeans, but all of a sudden, everything went colour for me, and it was like, okay, I totally get it, and now I feel... Something just clicked, and it just fell into place, and... This song was playing and it just reminds me of such a happy time in my life because I was totally aware of what I hadn't been sure of for a couple of years.
But who was the Wicked Witch you crushed?
I still haven't crushed her. Or maybe I have. Not just the one.
And this is the fabulous Bananarama, Andy's third song of the night.
Oh, it's such a happy song.
I heard a rumour. You're on Joy 94.9. Listening to Chatterbox tonight with Brett, Alan and Andrew, only on Joy 94.9.
Now, Andy.
Yes,
Andy
Alan.
Pandy.
Yes.
I understand why my family moved to Melbourne. It was my mother's obsession with Beryl out of Sons and Daughters. But moving from one wasteland to another, from Cardiff to Perth.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
We were on the witness protection program. No, we weren't. We weren't.
Well, that's just blown that cover.
We had family that moved over in the mid-80s, and it was really close family. It was my mum's sister and my two cousins and obviously my uncle. And we tried for years and years and years to emigrate, and they wouldn't let us in because we're dodgy, let's face it. But eventually they did accept us, and we moved over. I think I was 19 when we moved over. And I was so reluctant. I was literally kicking and screaming because I'd just come out. I just found this wonderful group of friends that I'd finally settled into in the UK. I had this sense of acceptance in myself. And then all of a sudden I was moved out of it to come to this place I'd never seen before. But I came here. Well, it was Perth, actually. It was Perth. And I just loved it. I really loved it. It was so completely alien to everything in the UK. And we just come out of a recession in the UK. So the 80s weren't the greatest place.
And can I say, being a Perth boy and growing up in Perth, Perth's almost renaissance in the last 30 years was the 80s. It really came of age. It started in the 70s with the mineral boom, but by the 80s, it was just a city flushed with cash.
Can I say that, though? We moved over and we flew in middle of the night, yes. Drove down to, and we were a good, oh God, at the time it was an hour and a half, hour outside of Perth. We were in a suburb called Warnborough, and it was pitch black when we got in. And I woke up the next day and I pulled back the curtains, and all I could see was bush for as far as I could see. And I remember my heart dropped into my stomach and I thought, what the hell have I done? But a couple of days later, we went up to the city, we'd gone to the beach, and I got into the swing of it.
Yeah.
I moved up to Perth. I met some fabulous people that I'm still friends with today, like Tony and Bev.
Yeah.
That just made my time in Perth absolutely wonderful. And yeah. I worked at a well-known department store in visual merchandising.
Yes. In fact, you did one of the most fabulous windows, didn't you, my love?
I did many fabulous windows, Brett. I was award-winning windows.
I'm speaking of one where you smashed how many terracotta pots?
About 140. I didn't smash them. I arranged them creatively.
Yes. And then what were you actually advertising in the... in the window?
One polo shirt.
Yes. And what was the feedback by management?
The feedback I got was, we're not selling terracotta pots. And my feedback back to management was, have we sold any? Exactly.
That's a genius, my
I'll have
boyfriend.
To ponder on that a little bit longer.
Oh, my God. And, of course, I mean, it was a bit of a thriving scene. And you came in really almost the peak of all that excess that was going on in Perth and Western Australia.
Yeah, it was just trying to end. The lip liner was left. The lipstick had long and truly wiped off.
Yeah, yeah.
But I had a great time there. It was wonderful to catch up with my family. I see my family that I hadn't seen for such a long time. As I was there for 3 years, met some wonderful friends, like, as I said, Tony and Bev and Dean. But then I just got itchy feet, and I think I outgrew Perth. I was 21 years old, and I came to Melbourne. My gorgeous friend Dean brought me to Melbourne on a holiday, and I just fell in love with it. It was like a combination of the UK and Australia, and it just felt like home the minute I landed.
Yeah.
It just felt familiar, and I literally packed everything up and moved over, I think, a month later.
And I've said this before, there was something, and you know, you've just said it felt like home. And for me, the first time I came here, and every other holiday that I came to Melbourne from Perth, I felt like it was home as well. And it was just like, well, I've got to live here.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was a fabulous place to be. I think particularly early 90s, there was just something that was wonderful about it. And as I said, it felt instantly like home for me.
Absolutely. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox tonight, usually co-hosted by Andrew and Brett, but co-hosted by Albie and Brett, because our fabulous guest is Andrew.
Weekdays on Joy 94.9, sharing your passions.
You are on Joy 94.9 tonight. It's Chatterbox with Brett and Alan, with our special guest, Andrew, tonight.
Now, Andrew.
Yes, Alan.
So you arrived in Melbourne.
Yes.
Now, what I forgot to mention last week is we were actually neighbours and we neither of us knew each other.
Can I say that was really quite strange, because I lived in Darling Street and I used to blast music out of my apartment, and there was somebody that lived next door to me that also used to blast music out of their apartment, and I used to love their music.
And vice versa, I'm sure.
And it turned out to be years later it was you.
It was
so strange. And you used to see me on South Yarra Station, didn't you?
I did. In your houndstooth sports coat.
And a big face full of makeup, ready for work.
But flash forward to your song choice number 4. Now, this is a song that certainly resonates with me. talk me through the how and the why and the where of this song.
Look, this is a bit of a big jump, because, as I said, I moved to Melbourne back in 91. But I think with this song in particular, it came out, and it's not necessarily about... Well, part of it is about the song, because it came out in about, I think, 1999, 2000. And it does remind me of when we were all going out and having a great time and...
I wasn't having a great
time. We were going to Studio 54. It was our Studio 54. See what it's done in my head? But we were going to Freakazoid a lot, and it was our Studio 54. But I think a couple of years later, it actually took on a little bit of a different resonance to me, because I went through a really shitty 5 years. I'm going to be honest. It was horrendous. My mother passed away. Then 6 months later, Brett's dad passed away. I got hit with a big, filthy bout of depression. There was antidepressant medication thrown in there. It was horrendous, and I just went into this real fog for a big chunk of my life.
Yeah.
I had some not great people around me at the time that probably were a little bit destructive to my self-esteem, but yeah. Do you know what? This song really now is about... It's No More Drama by Mary J. Blige, and it's really a good testament to where I'm at now, because I came out of the depression and I came out of everything else so much stronger. I came out of the grief of my mother so much stronger. I ditched some people that really weren't good. And that's pretty much where I'm at now, is I just don't want any drama. It's life's too short. Yeah. I look around and I think the people I've got around me are wonderful, and I really cherish the people I've got around me, and I don't want anybody else's bullshit.
Yeah.
Bravo.
And here is Mary J. Blige with No More Drama. Great choice, my love. You're in Joy 94.9. It's Chatterbox. You're on Joy 94.9. It's Chatterbox Tonight with Brett, Andy and Alan. My God, it is that time of the night, Albie, where we ask our guest our out-of-the-box questions.
Yes, and so certainly compared to last week, to paraphrase my favourite movie, quid pro quo, Clarence. You tell me things, I tell you things.
It's payback time, bitches.
It certainly is.
You come in here with your fancy bag and your cheap shoes.
These are not cheap shoes.
I'm talking to Alan.
The barter bullets. They're great.
Alan, what's our first question to our guest?
This one's an easy one to warm yourself into it. What is your most embarrassing song on your iPod?
Dance Yourself Dizzy, which we played earlier, is embarrassing to people that hear it, but I love it. Probably the most embarrassing song is Lena Zavaroni, Mama, He's Making Eyes at Me.
And for those of you who don't know Lena Zavaroni, please go to YouTube and just do a search.
Oh, she's on there.
She's on there.
She is.
She is.
It's horrendous.
Now, my love, we've got a listener question that's come in, and it says, Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Speaking of witches, who is Andy's favourite witch of screen, stage, song or telly / movie?
I think, and this is quite a recent one, actually, I watched something on YouTube, and it was the woman that played the maid in Mommy Dearest.
Yes.
And she did this big tour of San Francisco gay bars, and she did this whole behind the scenes what went on the set of Mommy Dearest. And she told these stories of what an absolute nightmare Faye Dunaway was when they were making Mommy Dearest. And apparently she was way worse than Joan Crawford ever was. She made these ridiculous demands.
Yeah.
She would keep everybody waiting for like 14 hours and then just go home. I think Faye Dunaway, and plus as well the fact that she looks so horrendous now. She looks like somebody stretched a balloon over her face because she's had so much surgery.
Can I say her face is like a knee?
So I thought her face fell off. But
so I'd have to say my most favourite witch bitch at the moment is Faye Dunaway. She's not in anything anymore because she's such a cow, no one will hire her. Andrew Lloyd Webber sacked her. Yeah, I think Faye Dunaway.
Oh my goodness. Andy. Sorry. Oh, Alan, I keep on forgetting you're my co-host, my darling. And no, you're doing a fabulous job, by the way.
I am.
Next question.
I think we covered this off last week, or you may have already just had with your other answer about Faye, but who's your most hated celebrity?
No, it's not Faye Dunaway. My most hated celebrity, it's Bindi Irwin.
Can
I say, they need to...
You and I pulled away. They're going, we're going to get in trouble for this discussion.
Why? Because she's hideous. They need to go through her hair with a comb and they'll find little sixes. She's hideous. That mother has done something to those children. I know, bless, the father died. Awful, terribly sad. But she's done, they're like little horrible freakish robots. They're like something from the Village of the Damned. They're awful.
Oh.
And she's just like this little wind-up toy. And I'm sorry, she's just primed for porn. I can just see in 6 years' time, she's going to be doing low-budget porn. It's sad, it's terrible, but she's terrible. She's a hateful child.
He's really had some... Oh. There's a lot of vitriol
I'm
in
glad
that, my
this
love.
Is coming.
She upsets me. She really upsets me. There's something deeply disturbing about both the Irwin children.
Yes. Okay.
I'm glad you got that off your
list. Oh, my goodness. therapy sessions.
Oh, like you can't have night. A go at them because they're not 15
I was
yet.
Going to say, my love, late night therapy sessions with Albie and Brett on Joy 94.9. Hey,
well,
now
you're
we've
not healing much, quite frankly.
No,
you're just
no.
picking the scab.
We do have, speaking of a late night, we do have a late message that's been sent through by the fabulous Chris and Sally. Nowhere I'd rather be on a Wednesday evening than gathered round the wireless listening to the chatterboxes. What a treat having Andy as a special guest. Brett, your next time, please. Oh, well, that's wonderful. Well, we'll have to warm up to that. Hey, you're listening to Chatterbox on Joy 94.9.
Missed your favourite show? Head to the New Joy website and click on podcasts to catch up with the best Joy has to offer. joy.org.au.
You are catching up with Chatterbox on Joy 94.9 tonight. I got all confused. I looked at you, my love. I got all confused. I can't believe you've been such a fabulous guest. And Alan, you've been a fabulous co-host this
Thank
evening.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Give me back my chair.
This one's wet too now.
Do you think the Bindi Irwin rant was merely about losing control, maybe?
In an effort to be fair and balanced, I had tried to get her on the phone just then, but she's doing a social studies homework.
Just because she's under the age of 13, it means you can't say what you think.
Yes.
I think she's about 36 now.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
So, Andy.
Yes.
Handy Andy.
Yes.
The final song of the evening. Yes. Again, it's one that I think would strike at the chord of many a heart of people who know you. Talk me through your final song.
Look, I would say this has got nothing to do with the song, but everything to do with the sentiment. It's Anytime You Need a Friend by Mariah Carey, and this is early Mariah. This is Music Box Mariah before she became singing implants.
Mimi.
Ugh. She's mental now. I do quite love her mentalness, though. When she goes and picks her twins up from preschool and she's wearing like a white fishtail dress in a sandpit.
She's quite mad.
She's unhinged, but she can't sing anymore. But this was good Music Box Mariah. And this is a song called Anytime You Need a Friend. And it's more about sentiment, as I said, than the song. And this really, I suppose, sums up what I was trying to say at the end of the last song, is I'm such a good place right now. Everybody in my life, I'm so grateful for that they're here. That's family, that's friends, that's you on the other side of the panel.
Back at you, babe.
Oh, thank you.
I'm in a really good, happy place. So, yeah, this is a nice way to round up the show for me.
I love your choices tonight, and I love you very much, my love. Albin, any final choice? Any words?
Thank you, everyone, and thank you two for having me on.
Oh, thank you.
It's been a pleasure.
And good night, Australia. We'll see you next week.
Night, night.
Joy 94.9.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
This podcast was produced by Joy Media. You can support Joy's diverse sound and diverse community this June by donating to Joy Radiothon 2024. Go to joy.org.au/radiothon. And remember, we all flourish with joy.